Morning, today's daf in Shabbos, Nun Dalid. We're in the Gimel Amud Beis. We're at the two dots towards the bottom of the Amud. We are starting this morning with the heading of Zecharim Yotzim Livuvim. The Mishnah we are working off of is found on Nun Beis Amud Beis towards the bottom of the Amud. We have our work cut out for us this morning. We are in the fifth parak of Shabbos. We are discussing what animals can go out with in Shabbos and what they cannot go out with Shabbos. The principal concern of this parak is the fact that the Torah says that our animals have to rest on Shabbos. More to the point is that we cannot do anything with our animals that would be a violation of Chilul Shabbos vis-a-vis the animals. That means to say, animals can't be carrying burdens on Shabbos. Animals have to roam free on Shabbos. Anything which is a tachshit, anything which serves the animal, is allowed to be worn by the animal. But if it is a burden, that the animal cannot go out with on Shabbos. There are, as we went over the last number of days of this parak, there are other considerations as well. Things are not tied on tightly and they fall off the animal. And Yerushas Rabim, you're going to be tempted to pick it up. Issues of Marasayin, which we're going to see more of this morning. So there are, quite frankly, other issues that involve this discussion of what exactly the animal can wear and what the animal cannot wear on Shabbos. There are issues like we discussed yesterday, that of tircha, just too much trouble for you. There are considerations in terms of what the animal itself is benefiting from this item. Is the animal being relieved from pain? Is the animal just simply getting more enjoyment? So there are, admittedly, it is a challenging parak. There are a lot of moving parts to this discussion, and it is at times a little bit challenging just to keep tabs of what exactly the issues are. But nevertheless, though, we're going to try our best to navigate through this parak, and we have our work cut out for us right now. We saw a Mishnah on Nun Beis Amud Beis. We saw it yesterday. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to reread the Mishnah, and then we have really the following objectives. One is that there's a lot of definition to do. There are terms in the Mishnah that we're unfamiliar with, and I say we. I mean, the Gemara is going to be spending time defining these terms, and then a question of the halacha, because as we'll see, as we're going to go over the Mishnah again, there are three opinions in the Mishnah, and then a question of who to follow, whose position is the accepted position. So let's take a look back at the Mishnah. We're going back to Nun Beis Amud Beis, and we're rereading the Mishnah again. Chamor, Yotzei Bar Mardas Bezman Shikshur Bo. That the donkey can go out with the saddle blanket. It's a blanket that is generally put on underneath the saddle. The donkey can go out with it as long as it's tied up to the donkey. And we discussed this already yesterday extensively in terms of when it needs to be tied up on Erev Shabbos, not on Shabbos itself. The Gemara doesn't say why, but we saw Tosfos yesterday who gave three reasons why that should be. Zecharim Yotzim Livuvim. The rams can go out on Shabbos with Livuvim. So we didn't explain what that means yesterday, so that is a term that we need to explain. Rechelos Yotzim Shchuzos Kavulos Kavunos. Ewes, female sheep, can go out on Shabbos with three different apparatuses on them. And we didn't explain any one of those. Shechuzos, kevulos, and kevunos. Kevunos, contextually, we kind of know what that means, but we're going to wait for the Gemara to explain that as well. Ha'izim yotzim seruros. Now, when it comes to the goats, they can go out with their udders tied. That is one opinion. Rabbi Yossi, osir, bekulan. Rabbi Yossi says that anything that we described in this Mishnah is going to be prohibited. Chutz min rechelim ha'kevunos. With notable exception to the sheep going out, kivunos. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, izim yotzim tzeruros liyaveh shavol lechalei. Now Rabbi Yehuda says, as far as the goats are concerned, so sometimes their udders can be tied up and sometimes it cannot be tied up. If the purpose of tying them up is liyaveh, it's to dry out the udders so that the goat stopped lactating, so that would be fine. Avol lechalei. But if it's there just to catch the milk, that would not be acceptable. And the way Rashi explained it back in the Mishnah, looking at the last Rashi of the Mishnah, the reason why you can tie up the udders in order to drive the milk is because you're going to be tying it really tight. And therefore, there's no concern that it's going to fall off and you're going to be tempted to carry a dala amas b'rishus harabim. On the other hand, if it's just there to catch the milk, you're not going to be tying it so tight. And therefore, we are concerned that it's going to, this item is going to fall down, you're going to be tempted to pick it up. All this was a review of the Mishnah. So, as pointed out, there are a lot of terms that need definition. And also, we saw there are three opinions at the end, the Tanakhama, Rav Yossi, and Rav Yehuda, and which of these positions do we follow? We go to the Gemara. We start where we left off yesterday, Zecharim Yotzim Livuvim. So we're talking about the rams, and they can go out Livuvim. So So my levavim. So the Gemara now wants to understand what does that mean. I'm Rav Huna Tutre. So Rav Huna gives a definition that they are tied up as a pair. My mashma da levavim lishna de kruvehu. So the word levavim. How do we know what sense do we get that the etymology of the word is describing something which is paired together, something which is proximate. Dichsiv. The Gemara quotes the pasuk from Shir Hashirim levavtani achuti kala. Okay, so you see over here that the word levav in the context of the pasuk is describing closeness, proximity. Ula amar or shekoshen lahem kineged liban. Ula gives a different description of what the levavim are, and that is it's basically some sort of protective gear. It is tied around the chest, the heart of the animal. Well, the chest that protects the heart. Kedesh lo yiplu alem ze'evim. And the reason why is because you have the wolves attacking, and the wolves go right for the heart. And so if you put this little protective layer right across, so it will serve the animal as a means of protection, protecting them from an attack of a wolf. So Zevim, Azachar Nafli, and Akevus Nafli. The Gemara says, wait 1 second. Why is this specific to the rams? Meaning the wolves are going to be attacking, and they'll be whatever they can get their hands on, whether it be a male, whether it be female. And obviously, Luvavim is specific to male. That's the way the Mishnah presented it. So the Gemara's response was, Mishum Damasko Beresh Edre. Well, you see, the rams are more susceptible, more vulnerable, because they're walking at the front of the herd. Uzeivim Beresh Edre Nafli, Bitsof Edre Lo Nafli. So the Gemara says, well, wait 1 second. The wolves, they really discriminate. They only attack at the front. They don't attack any of the sheep that is not in the front line. So Elamishum Deshamne. So the Gemara says, well, the rams are particularly fat, and that's why they are more desired by the wolves. So the Gemara says, "Vinekevas Leika Shamne." Really, is that true? Ewes don't have the fat on them. Visuma Yade Ben Hani Lahane. And do the wolves really know the difference between the male and the female? So Elamishum Dezak Vechut Mayu. So the Gemara gives now a different reason, and it's because of the behavior of the rams. The Gemara describes how when the rams walk, so their nose are stuck up, right? And like the expression, but over here, the Gemara means it literally. Umazge kidavu. And as they're walking, so they're looking in all directions, meaning basically the way they walk is confrontational. And that's why they are the ones that draw the attention of the wolves. And that's why they are most prone to the attack of wolves. So far, what we have is now two explanations of what levuvim are. The Gemara is going to be offering a third. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Gamar or Shekoshon Lahem Tachas Zachrusem Kedesh Lo Yalu Al Nekevos. So the Gemara says, Rav Nachman says that it's a hide that's tied to the private area of the rams so that they will not be mating. So in other words, obviously the shepherd is going to be controlling when the animals mate, when the animals do not mate. And so this is just simply some sort of apparatus that prevents mating. And the reason why he feels that this is a good pshat is because let's take a look together at the end of the Mishnah. Now the ewes can go out shechuzos. Now we don't know what that term means yet. So what it means is that it's some sort of apparatus that lifts the tail up that encourages mating. So the beginning of the Mishnah is talking about something that is going to curtail the mating activity, and the end of the Mishnah is going to be just simply the contrast, meaning there are times when the shepherd wants them not to mate, and there are times when the shepherd wants them to mate. So that is so just simply, it's a good way to look at the Mishnah, because the Mishnah is dealing with the same topic. Just simply a question of whether it's the on-off, the on switch or the off switch. So my mashmad ay shechuzos listen to Gulu Yehu. Now the Gemara says, now shechuzos, you are very comfortable with only one definition. Luvuvos, we really struggled. But shechuzos, everyone knew for sure that that meant lifting the tail up in order to reveal the private area of the ewe in order to encourage mating. How did you know that? So the Gemara says, dichsiv. The Gemara says, we have a pasuk in Mishlei. V'inei isha l'kraso shis zona unitzur slave. Rashi describes the shis being a description, a Tanakh description of the private area. And shis zona, Rashi points out, is really the contraction, the word shechuzos is really a contraction of the word shis zona. Okay, the ches, hard to say exactly where the ches comes from. But anyway, but the idea is is that it's a revelation of the private area. You see the pasuk in the context, you'll see that it's describing revealing the private area. So we know for sure that shechuzos means revealing the private area. So the shechuzos that's used for the yu is to encourage mating. And so it's fair to now argue that the luvavos is also contextually the same context, just happens to work in the opposite direction. It's to discourage mating. But anyway, so that is where we are right now. So, luvavos, the Gemara gave no less than three interpretations of what that means. In terms of shechuzos, the Gemara is pretty clear that it's an item that encourages mating. It's used for the ewe, and it encourages mating between the rams and the ewes. Harichelim yotzos kvulos, as we are now on the top of Nundala and Aleph, and we still have more defining to do. We have the term kvulos, which is used for the ewes. They can go out kvulos. My kvulos, shemechavim al yash lehem lamata, kidei shelo yalu aleh zcharim. Their tails are tied downwards. Kvulos, by the way, sounds very much like the English word cable. I could just speculate that maybe the two terms are related, but don't know if I'm right about that. Either way, it's some sort of cable that is used to tie the tail down in order so that there will be no mating going on. So again, so the shepherd is in full control of in terms of when the animals are going to be mating. So the shechuzos is where the tail is tied upward, and the kvulos is when the tail is tied downward. My mashmadai kavulisha de lo avid peire. Now you see the word kvulos, we're going to show in Tanakh how it means that it does not produce, literally, produce. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Malachi. Ma'arim ha'ila asher nasat ali achi vayikra eretz kavul ad yom hazeh. So in the relationship between Shlomo HaMelech and Chiram, where Chiram provided a lot of the material in order to build the first base of Mikdash, so Shlomo, in response, gave Chiram property, cities. So he gave him a city, and Chiram, in this particular scenario, was complaining, I cannot believe that you gave me the city. And he described it. It was an unproductive city, which we're going to describe in just a moment what was so unproductive about it. And Chiram described the city as Eretz Kavul. Okay, so you see just clearly in the context of the Psukim that Eretz Kavul means it's an unproductive city. Now the Gemara wants to understand what was so bad about this particular city that was given by Shlomo HaMelech to Chiram. My Eretz Kavul Am Rav Huna Shayu Bo Bnei Adam Shemechuvalim Bekesef Vezahav. So the people over there were laden with gold and silver. And the Gemara's question is obvious. Am Alei Rav Yehachi Hainu Dechsev Yishu Be'inav. And it's hard to understand, meaning if the people in that city are so rich, why was Chiram so annoyed with receiving that city? So the Gemara says, Mimnei shemechuvalim bekesef vezahav lo yishu meinav, amar le'in. He says, yep. Kema de'atiri u'mifanke lo avde avidata. So the Gemara says that the people in that particular city were wealthy. So wealthy that they had no work to do. So these were all people who were extraordinarily wealthy and unproductive. They didn't work. And so therefore they weren't earning an annual income. And they were just living off of their assets. Now, if you are a king, you don't want a city like that. In other words, so you have these people over here who don't need to earn, and so therefore there's no taxation. You're not collecting taxes from them, right? Now, probably a good reason why we in this country set up an estate tax. Anyway, sorry for the commentary. But anyway, that is the Hiram's complaint. That's why he was complaining. Anyway, what we got from all this is that the word kavul, as described in Tanakh, is something describing as unproductive. And now we just simply take that definition, we apply it over here, when describing the kavulos that's used for the ewes, so it must mean that it's causing the animals to be unproductive, and now we understand. The tails are tied down so that the animals do not mate. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Eretz Chom Ton, Haisa. Now the Gemara is going back to the Pesukim in Malachim and giving a second possible definition of what it means that this land is a land that is Kavul and why was Chiram so unhappy with it. And so Rav Nachman Yitzchak says that it's describing a land that is Chotmon. The land is full of salt and minerals, Haisa. V'amai karele Kavul, dimishtarga ba kara ad kavla. And what happens is that when you walk into the land, it's very marshy and it's very salty. And when you walk into the land, so your foot sinks into the ground right up to your, now, kavla over here could be a description of the knee. It could be even more. Rashi seems to describe it as the lower joint. Maybe Rashi is describing the ankle. Anyway, and when people describe this land, it's so salty that people say that it doesn't, you can't plant over there, it doesn't produce over there. It results in the same point, that the word kavul means unproductive, it doesn't produce. It's just a question of why it is it doesn't produce. Either the people are so rich that they don't create annual earnings, and therefore there's no tax to collect, or the other possibility is just simply the physical nature of the land itself. It is so salty, it does not produce. Kivu notes, continuing in the Gemara, where Nundalam and Aleph are the two dots, we still have more terms that we need to define. But this one's a quick one, because the Gemara is not going to deliberate at all. My kivu notes, shemechavnu oso lemilas. What you do is that you wrap up the animal after it's born, in order so that the wool remain clean. Kidnan se'ez ketzemer lavan. The Mishnah in Nega'im is telling us the colors of white that are going to be tsaras. So there are four whites to go over. Remember the Gemara in the beginning of Baba Kama. Yes, I'm quoting a Gemara in order to explain a Mishnah, but it's the only way I know the Mishnah because of the Gemara Baba Kama, unfortunately. But the Gemara Baba Kama that goes through the Avos Malachos and the Avos Nezikin and the Avos in terms of the Nega'im. And when it comes to the Avos of Nega'im, so there are two colors, which really are four colors in total. There are two main shades of white, and each one has a subset of white. Anyway, remember, that's great. If not, that's also fine for now. But the point is that one of the colors is se'es, and that is kitzemer lavan. It's like white wool. Ma'itzemer lavan, amarabibi, barabai, kitzemer nakiba, yamushechama, and shemechavna, solamilas. And it's exactly what we're describing over here. That immediately after the sheep is born, so you're wrapping up the wool, it's nice and pristine. It's that kind of white that we're looking for. So the mechuvanos basically is a wrap. It's a coat that is worn by the sheep in order to keep its wool white. Va'izim yotzos tzruros. And now we're up to the goats. So we discussed so far this morning the rams, the sheep, and now we're up to the goats and tzruros. Now tzruros, we don't need help with the definitions. We know what it means. We're tying up the udders. It's just a question of how tight we're tying the udders up. Really tight in order to stop lactation, or looser just to collect any milk that may fall out. It my Rav Amar Halacha k'Rav Yehuda. Fine. And now the question becomes the following: of the shitas that we had in the Mishnah, so who do we follow? So you remember in the Mishnah, Rav Yossi is the most stringent position of all of them. Rav Yossi says that you cannot go out with any of the above described topics. He feels that they're all considered a masui, they're all burdens. With exception to the rechelos, so except for the sheep, where they can go out with their coats. That is a protection of their tzemer, so that doesn't get dirty, and that is considered tachshit. On the other hand, you have the shita of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda really is focusing on the goats, but as Rashi pointed out back in the Mishnah, he really fundamentally agrees with the Tanakhama, that the animals can go out with all of the above described items, and the only exception that Rav Yehuda makes is that when it comes to the goats and the tying it up, it's going to make a difference whether it's tied taut or whether it's tied loosely. So itmar Rav Amar Halacha k'Rav Yehuda. So where does the halacha fall? Who does the halacha fall like? So Rav says the halacha falls like Rav Yehuda. Shmuel Amar Halacha k'Rav Yossi, and Shmuel's of the opinion that the halacha falls like Rav Yossi. V'ikada masin lahashmaita ba'apin nafshi. Now some just simply learn the positions of Rav and Shmuel as they are describing it independent of the Mishnah, but it comes out to the same point. Rav Amar liyavish mutar velo lechalev. If you're tying it tight so that it stops the goat from lactating, that would be fine. Tying it loosely, tying these pouches loosely on the udders is not acceptable because Rav is holding like Rav Yehuda. Shmuel Amar echazev echazev asur v'ikidamas. I'm sorry, echazev echazev asur. Shmuel's of the opinion that they're both going to be prohibited. Some learn it on the following. Izim Yosef Tzurus Liavish Avola Lechalev Mishum Rav Yehuda Ben Beser Amru Kach Halacha Avami Mafis Ezel Liavish VeEzel Lechalev Omitoch Shein Makirin Echazev Echazev Aser. So, in this brisa, we're going over the same piece of information. The Tanakhama says that the goats can have their udders tied up, but only to dry out the udder, meaning tight, but not loosely. Rav Yehuda ben Beser in this brisa says, "I, in theory, I agree with you, but no one knows whether it's going to be tight or whether it's going to be loose. Therefore, they're both going to be aser. So basically, in the final analysis, you have Rav Yehuda ben Becerra holding like Rav Yossi. And Amar Shmuel v'Amri La, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel halachik Rav Yehuda ben Becerra. And here we have Shmuel passing like Rav Yehuda ben Becerra, which in effect means that it's passing like Rav Yossi. Okay. And Ki Asa Ravin Amar Rav Yochanan. Ravin comes in from Eretz Yisrael, and he quotes Rav Yochanan. Now, before we get to Rav Yochanan's psak, so what we've had so far really is consistently is that Rav is passing like Rav Yehuda, and Shmuel is passing like Rav Yossi. That's what we've had consistently so far. So there are, of the three positions, only two have been discussed and taken as a halachic position. Either the opinion of Rav Yehuda or the opinion of Rav Yossi. Rav is makel like Rav Yehuda, and Shmuel is machmir like the shita of Rav Yossi. And then along comes Rav Yochanan, or actually along comes Ravin, quoting Rav Yochanan, and he says that the halacha is like the Tanakama. And if you take a look at Rashi over here, really interesting Rashi says, the Tanakama, meaning the Tanakama of our Mishnah, meaning not of the Braisa. The Tanakama of our Mishnah that says that everything is going to be permitted. Right? The Tanakama is the one who endorses the animal using all of the above, including the tying up of the goat. So the way Rav Yochanan has it, according to Rashi, is that that is really a divergent position. In other words, it's not Rav, it's not Shmuel, meaning it's not Rav Yossi, it's not Rav Yehuda. Or let me go in the right order. It's not Rav Yehuda, it's not Rav Yossi, but rather, according to Rashi, Rav Yochanan is signing with the Tanakhama of our Mishnah. In any regard, whenever we have a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, we do follow the halach like Rav be Isurim. Obviously, this is Issur v'Heter, this is Hilchos Shabbos, this is Gzeiras d'Rabbanan on Hilchos Shabbos, and so therefore the halacha is in fact going to be going like Rav in this regard. And kind of takes us to the end, parenthetically, by the way, Tosfos has a slightly different read on the Gemara that we just did together, but, and a different Girsa, but the way I presented it is like Rashi. Okay, we are in the Mishnah on Nundalet Amud Aleph, and we are up to the next stage of what animals can go out with on Shabbos and what they cannot go out with on Shabbos. So, Vama Eina Yotza, what can animals not go out with on Shabbos? Aliyetza Gama B'mitul Talas. An animal cannot go out with this item. The definition of this item is coming up. Rashi in the Mishnah does give a basic interpretation of what it means. So some say that it is a pushla, shitachetz navo. So it's some sort of cushion that the that's tied around the tail of the camel. Others say Rashi say that's mardas, that it's some sort of blanket. Rashi says that he really prefers this latter interpretation. And Rashi goes to argue based on the Gemara that we're going to see together. Let's wait till we see the Gemara and then we'll come back to the Rashi. So it's some sort of cushioning for the camel, either a cushion underneath or it's a saddle on top, but either way. So that a camel cannot go out with that on Shabbos. The reasons why we will describe in the Gemara. Lo akud v'lo ragul. Also, a camel cannot go out, neither akud v'ragul. Let's wait till the Gemara. The Gemara is going to explain what that means. V'chein shar kol behemos, lo yikshar, and the truth of the matter is, this is true with all other animals as well. They cannot go out in the state of akud v'ragul. Lo yikshar gemalim zeb zeb yimshoch. Now, what you cannot do is you cannot create a train of camels, having the front of one camel tied to the back of another camel, and basically make a train of camels and carry them in that way. Or I should say, not carry them, sorry. And lead them in that way for reasons which we're going to articulate in the Gemara. However, if let's say you want to walk a bunch of camels together on Shabbos, and they're all tied to leashes, which in of itself is fine, and you're holding the leashes, as long as you're holding the leash of every one of the camels, meaning as long as they're not tied in a convoy state, but as long as you're holding the leash of every one of them, that would be fine. You could walk them in that manner. The only thing you can't do is you can't wrap the leashes around your hand on Shabbos. And that's curious. And wait till we get to the Gemara where we're going to understand that a lot better in terms of why that should be. Tanu, let's start with the Gemara with a braisa. So you cannot have the animal going out with this cushion, or Rashi's preferred explanation, with the saddle that's tied to the tail. However, if it's really secured on the camel, So then it would be fine. Meaning if it's tied to the tail and it's tied to the hump of the camel as well, so that would be okay. And what we get from the Gemara, by the way, is clearly the concern here is that this saddle is apt to fall off, because remember, the saddle of itself is not a problem. The donkey was allowed to go out with, I didn't mean saddle, by the way. Let me just clarify. The blanket. The camel is allowed to go out with the blanket. So, sorry, the donkey. Now I'm confused with all the animals and all the terms. The donkey was allowed to go out with the blanket that we learned in yesterday's daf. So there's nothing wrong with the blanket per se. It just is obviously over here a concern that if it's not secured to the camel, and the camel's shape obviously is an odd shape, so it's going to be fall off. It's going to fall off the camel, and what's going to happen then is it's going to be picking it up and carrying it dalamas brishas arabim. So over here, as long as it's tied in securely, so that would be okay. Amareva bar Ravuna Yosef Gamma Mamtalas Gshurala Bishil Yasa. If it's tied up to the Shil Yasa, now literally that means the afterbirth, the placenta of the camel. In this particular case, it can't literally mean that it's tied to the placenta. It must mean that it's tied to a sensitive area of the camel. And the idea over here is that it's tied to the sensitive area. Rashi over here, by the way, on this Gemara, also is insistent that it's some sort of cushioning, some sort of pillowing. Anyway, it's there to service the camel so that when the animal sits on its private area, it's going to be saved from a lot of pain. And again, the idea here is that as long as it's tied and secure, that it's not going to fall off. So then that would be fine. That would be acceptable. And because it really services the animal itself is not going to be. It's not going to try to get it off of its body. Okay, lo akud v'lo ragul. We are talking now. We're describing other things that the camel cannot go out with on Shabbos, and that is akud v'ragul. I'm Rav Yehuda, so now let's give definitions to these terms. Akud akedes yad v'ragul ki Yitzchak ben Avraham. So what is akud? It means that it's bound up, just like Yitzchak was by akedas Yitzchak. In fact, think of the terminology, akedas Yitzchak. It means to say that his right hand was tied up with his right foot, and his left hand was tied up with his left foot. And that's what we mean regarding the camel. We don't want the camel tied up in this manner on Shabbos. And ragul, that's the term akud. What about ragul? Shelo yichof yado al gabe zro'o v'yikshor. Basically, what you don't want to do is, what you do want to do, but you can't on Shabbos, is basically fold a leg up so you're tying the bottom part against its upper part. Now, basically, the purpose of both these activities is to immobilize the camel. The camel now is going to really struggle in walking, and that's obviously what you're looking to do, and in general, that would be okay. It just happens to be that on Shabbos, one is not allowed to do it. We'll see why in just a moment. So, meitzve akud. Now, the Gemara over here is just going to be working on the definitions over here. Meitzve, the Gemara challenge is based on a brisa. Akud shtei yadayim v'shtei raglayim. So the akud in the brisa is described as tying its two hands together and its two feet together. And ragul shelo yichaf yado agav yizro v'yikshor. Now ragul is like what we described, folding the leg against itself and tying it up. So, but the word, the brisa's definition of akud is not working in sync with that given by Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda is an amora, and he can't just simply be dismissing the brisa. Hu damar ki aitanus, the Gemara says he's holding like another brisa. Detanya akud akides yad v'regal, o shtei yadayim v'shtei raglayim, ragul shelo yichaf yado agav yizro v'yikshor. So here in this brisa, so it's a little bit better. Akud is either hand tied against the front leg, tied against the back leg, or two hands tied together, two back legs tied together. Ragul, as we described, you're folding over the leg. Yeah, but this brisa is still not perfect in line with Rav Yehuda, because the beginning of the brisa works out great, but then the brisa gives another alternative explanation of what akud is, which is not what Rav Yehuda said. Elohu damer ki aitana. So the Gemara says he goes like the following brisa. Akud akides yad v'regel ki Yitzchak ben Avraham. Ragul shelo yichof yado al gab yizro v'yikshor. Okay, and this brisa is clearly working with the position that like Rav Yehuda. Like the akud is where you're tying the front leg and the back leg together. And the ragul is folding the leg over. Okay, and it's just like what Rav Yehuda said. And so we are working with a a good understanding of the Mishnah, and we're also supporting that Rav Yehuda's definition. What exactly is going to be the problem? Why can one not do this on Shabbos? So obviously over here, what we have to say is that this is not servicing the animal. Meaning over here, this, and on top of that, it's also, I would imagine, uncomfortable for the animal. But if you are looking to take care of the animal and you want to make sure it doesn't run away, so understandably, these are means of doing so. However, it doesn't really service the animal in doing so. There are probably other ways in which you can immobilize your animal or keep your animal within proximity. And so therefore, these are items that you cannot do on Shabbos. Lo yikshur gemalim mai taima. Now we're talking about that convoy of camels where the front of one is tied to the back of the other, and they're traveling in convoy, which in general is fine, but you can't do that on Shabbos. My time, I'm Ravashi Mishum Demerse Kemanda Azal Lechinga. So the Gemara here introduces us to another issue regarding the Gzeiros Chachamim, and that is the following: if you're doing something on Shabbos that looks like you're going to the marketplace, even though you had no intention to go to the marketplace, but this is the kind of activity where people typically go to the marketplace, so then this is what the appearance that you give off, and this is what we would call Maris Ayin. You're giving off the impression that you're going off to the marketplace because this is how people transport their camels when they go to the marketplace. The word chinga, says Rashi, is a description of the market. Rashi writes over here, by chinga, l'shuk l'mochrim chinga, erev shav shesovim es ha-shuk, mechulos mechulos agulos shel b'nei Adam. Their markets, says Rashi, were basically looking like circles. And as a result of that, that's the configuration, and that's why it's called the chinga. Chinga, also a description of circles. Avamachnis, amar avashu loshanu ela le'inyin kalayim. Okay, and now we're up to the holding of the leashes of the animal. If you're not walking with the camels in a convoy configuration, but rather you were just simply holding the leash of every one of the camels, and it just happens to be a number of camels, and you're holding the leashes in your hand, that would be fine. Just don't wrap your hand up with these leashes. Now, what is going on over there? You can't wrap your hand up with the leashes. What is the issue over here? So the Gemara gives the clarification to the Mishnah. And here is Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says, Loshana Eliyin Kalayim. The issue over here is Kalayim. Now the Gemara says, Kalayim, Kalayim Demai. What did you mean by that? Elam Kalayim De Adam. Right now, the Gemara for a moment is thinking that basically you and the camels now are helping push along an item. And we know that there are various manifestations of Kalayim. One of them is that you cannot have a Shor v'chamor plowing together. And right now, the Gemara for a moment is just thinking, maybe it's you and the camel that is moving something along. The Gemara says, but that's not even Kalayim. A human being, together with an animal, does not violate the Isser of Kalayim. The Isser of Kalayim is violated when you have two different animals that are plowing and pushing together. But if it's a human and an animal, that's just simply not a violation of Kalayim. So that's not what we mean over here. So, Ela Kalayim de Chavalim. So it means as follows. So you're holding the leashes of many different camels. Now, some of the leashes are made out of wool, and some of the leashes are made out of linen. And when you're holding them in your hand, that in of itself is not a violation of Kalayim. But if you wrap your hands up in them, so that may be a violation of Kalayim. Now the Gemara says, now, in of itself, I can begin to entertain the idea of the Hatanya or Hatanan. But let's take a consideration of the Mishnah in Kalayim. The Mishnah in Kalayim teaches us, Atokit Tekiva Achaz Enu Chibor. In order for a wool and linen to be considered kalayim, to qualify as kalayim, they have to be knotted together. And knotted together, not kifa achas, not a single bow, but in other words, it has to be a double knot. Right? Like when we tie our tzitzis and we make them double knot, the Gemara Menachos says that the mitzvah of tzitzis can override the isser of kalayim. There you're violating the isser of kalayim because you're putting in a double knot. So over here, if all you're doing is just holding the leashes, even though some are made up of wool and some are made up of linen, it's not going to be a violation of Kalayim because the leashes are not knotted together. So the Gemara says, okay, you know what we'll do? We'll stay here on this pshat and we'll just simply qualify. Okay, so it means like this, is that you can't hold the various leashes of the various camels, some made up of wool, some made up of linen, and then tie it in a knot together and and hold it while tied and not together, then one would be violating the Isser of Kalayim. Amar Shmuel v'vashalo yetzech hava mitachas yado tefach. Another qualification in terms of holding the leashes. And that is that you have to hold the end of the leash. If, let's say, you don't hold the end of the leash, but you basically choke up on the leash, and there is some of the leash now coming out of your hand, so that certainly gives off the appearance now that that portion of the leash is not being used for the animal, and it looks like now you're carrying that portion of the leash. Now, Shmuel taught that it was two tefach that can't go from your hand. So the Gemara says like this. Really, one is not really giving off the appearance that he's carrying the other end of the leash until two tefachim of the leash are extending out of your hand. But Shmuel says that halach lamaisa, but as far as practical halach is concerned, he would stop somebody, even if just one tefach was coming out of the other side of his hand, and he would say already at that point in time, you should be concerned, you should be holding the leash by the very end of the leash, and you shouldn't have not even a tefach of leash extending outside of the other side of your hand. The Hatanya. Now, the Gemara over here is quoting another brisa describing leashes, as we are now on the top of Nandala Medbeis. V'atanya v'avacheg b'men akarka tefach. Now, the leash has to be above the ground by one tefach. Right now, the Gemara is thinking that we're talking about the leash that's coming out of the other side of your hand. So it can't be a tefach coming out, and it has to be a tefach above the ground. What is that about? So the Gemara says, no, you misunderstood. Kitanya hi b'chivla de beni beni. No, that's not talking about the portion of the leash that's coming outside of your hand. That's talking about the leash in general. When you are pulling any animal, a camel or any animal for that matter, and you're not pulling it taut, but you're letting the leash sag close to the ground, so at this point in time now, it's no longer servicing the animal, and then it becomes a masui. Then it becomes a burden. So when you are leashing your animal and walking it through the street, so you have to make sure that it's taut and it doesn't drag load to the ground. Once it drags load to the ground, it is now possibly a violation of carrying because it's no longer servicing the animal. Or you could say that the animal now is carrying, it's a burden for the animal, and you'd be in violation of Shvisas Behema. However to say it, so we just learned now a lot of halachas regarding the leash of an animal. If you're carrying multiple leashes and some are made of wool and linen and they're tied together, so then there is a kalim consideration, admittedly unlikely, but back in the day, that obviously was an issue. If you are holding the leash, you must hold the leash by the end of the leash. Having excess leash coming out of the other side of your hand is carrying that portion, and that would be prohibited. And also, you have to pull the leash taut and not let it sag to within one tefach of the ground, because then it looks like a masui, or it is a masui. We're in Nundalam at base. We're starting now with the Mishnah. Ein chamor yotzei b'madas bezman she'nekshir lo. A donkey cannot go out with this saddle blanket when it's not tied up. Now, you'll remember what we said over here back in yesterday's daf, is it means that it was not tied up on Erev Shabbos, but rather was tied up on Shabbos itself. It goes without saying that if it's not tied up at all, so then it's just going to fall off. So we're describing where it was tied up on Shabbos. Now, again, let's review what we said yesterday. Why is it that the saddle has to be tied up on Erev Shabbos in order for the, saddle blanket. Why does the saddle blanket have to be tied up before Shabbos in order for that the donkey can go out with it on Shabbos? So there was the Tosos that we saw yesterday that I'm going to quickly review. And there were three pshatim offered in the Tosos. One is he quoted a Rashi. Now the Rashi happens to be right here, meaning it's the Rashi that we're looking at right here on Nadal Amad Beis, but I'm looking at it from Ngimel Amad Aleph on the Tosos. So Rashi says that if the animal was wearing this saddle blanket on Friday, it's a mabush. In other words, the donkey was clearly looking at it, well, donkey doesn't have much thought, but the donkey was clearly wearing it as a garment. But if you're just putting it on Shabbos, so then it does not have the status of a malbush, and therefore it's a masri. A second shot offered by Tosus himself is that if it was not tied up on Friday, and it was only tied up on Shabbos, you're giving off the impression that really what you're looking to do is transport the blanket itself. And this is just a means of transporting the blanket. Tosfos offers a third shot, that of Rav Paras, is that if you put the blanket on Shabbos, you're giving off the impression that you're looking to make a long journey, which of course you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. So these are three different pshatim in terms of why it is that the blanket must be tied up before Shabbos, not on Shabbos. Let's go back to our Mishnah. V'lo bezug, afa pi shehu pakuk. And you cannot go out with a bell, even if the bell's stuffed up. Now, in the chatzar, we said the animal can go around with a bell as long as it's stuffed up. But going outside of the chatzar, so the animal cannot go out with a bell, reasons why, we will explain in the Gemara. V'lo besulam shebetzavaro, not with a ladder running along the neck of the animal. It sounds a little bit strange, but we're going to explain that better in the Gemara. V'lo berutsu shebraglo, and not with a string on its leg. V'in atanagom yotzim chutin. Chickens are not allowed to go out with the strings. All this will be explained in the Gemara. V'lo b'rtsua shebraglehem, and not with a strap along its legs. V'ina zecharim yotzim ba'agala shetachas ha'aliyah shalahem. The male animals, the rams, are not allowed to go out with a little wagon on their tail. They have this very long tail in the back, and it drags. And what the shepherds used to do is they used to make this like mini wagon that was fixed to the tail, and so that when the animal walked, the tail would be riding the wagon and stay clean. And as far as the ewes are concerned, they cannot go out with these chanunos. We're going to explain what that means. And a calf cannot go out with a gimon, v'lo para ba'or hakupar. And the cow cannot go out with literally the skin of the porcupine. All this will be explained. V'lo b'rusua shebein karneha, and not with a strap between its horns. Paroso she Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, ha'isa yosab b'rusua shebein karneha. The cow of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah actually had a strap between its horns. Shelo b'rason chachamim, and the chachamim did not approve of it. Now we're talking about Rav Elazar ben Azariah, who was at one point in time the Abbezdin. He was he was a Nasi. He was a leader of the Jewish people. Hard to imagine that he behaved in a manner in which and went against Chachmei Yisrael. So that needs clarification, and we are going to provide clarification for that. Okay, so we have a lot of points in the Mishnah that need discussion. So my timer. So the Gemara over here, the Girsa that we have over here is very truncated. What is the reason? The Gemara over here is describing the first halach of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "In chama yotze b'mardas b'zman shein akshura lo." The Gemara now seeks clarification, and then the Gemara over here, really short piece of Gemara, at least the Girsa that we have, and that is kid amran. Well, we already explained it, so obviously all this needs explanation, but. Over here, go back to everything I just said. Meaning, look at Rashi over here. Rashi says that we're describing the halacha that the blanket has to be tied up on Erev Shabbos, not on Shabbos. And again, everything that we just discussed, Rashi over here is what Tosfos was citing back on Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. V'lo bezug afa pishu pakuk. Now we're talking about the bell. Now, the animal cannot go out into the market wearing the bell, even if it's plugged up. Now, over here, the reason why is because when an animal goes out to the market with a bell on, so that's because it is looked to be sold. And over here, if the animal is wearing a bell, and even though it's plugged up, and even though it doesn't produce a sound, but when somebody sees it, he will think to himself, hey, that person is taking it out to the market on Shabbos. And that will be a violation of Maris Ayin. You're giving an appearance that you're doing something inappropriate, even if you're not. But still, Maris Ayin says that you have to be above reproach, even from an appearance standpoint. V'lo b'sulam shebetzavaro. You can't go up the ladder along the neck. That needs explanation. Amar Rav Huna bei lav'ai, lamai avdilei lehecha di islei maka delo hadar chayech bei. So the Gemara describes over here that basically what you're doing is that you are securing the neck. You're basically constricting the animal so that it cannot bend its neck, and you're putting some apparatus that looks like a mini ladder right along the neck. And that will immobilize the neck. And why would you do that? Because the animal has a certain wound, and it's going to want to scratch it, bite it, and so you're immobilizing the neck so that the animal doesn't do that. Every now and then you see the these dog owners where they have some sort of lampshade around the neck of the neck of the dog, and it's a similar purpose. Lo b'rusua shebaraglo. You're not allowed to go out with a ritzua along its leg. The abdilei ligizra, and what the purpose of this is that the animals are walking and knocking its knees together, and so you tie up the legs in order so that the animals do not have its knees knocked. Now the Gemara does not explain why, but the Chachamim did not want the animal to go out with this kind of apparatus on Shabbos. Perhaps it's not necessary. Perhaps it's not a tachshit. It's just a masui. Okay, that could be. And obviously, what we'll have to say, I'm going on my own right now. But you'll have to say is that this does not represent pain for the animal, because if you are removing pain from the animal, so we already described in yesterday's daf, that would be allowed to do on Shabbos. Meaning you can prepare the animal so that it experiences less pain. Now the strings that are attached to the legs of the chicks of the animal, they are there to as identifiers. They're basically there to mark off which chick is which, and so this is not something which is necessary for the chick itself, and this qualifies as a masui, and so you cannot they cannot go out with it on Shabbos. Now in terms of the strings. So what they would do is they would basically tie the legs of the chicks together so that the chicks would not have the ability to hop really high and then land. And if they did that, they would be breaking utensils. So, again, this isn't really for the purposes of the chicks, and therefore it is a masui. And it's chayim yotzim ba'agala. You cannot have the ram going out with this mini wagon along its tail like we described back in the Mishnah. Kehechid alo lechamtan al yasa. And the reason why it's there to protect the tail of the animal, it would get knocked by stones if you didn't do it. So again, it doesn't really serve the animal, and you can't have it going out with it on Shabbos. Ein rechel liyosim chanunos. Now the youth cannot go out on Shabbos chanunos. So that is a difficult term. The Gemara is looking now to seek what exactly that means chanunos. The Gemara is going to try to give a number of explanations. Here we go. So, at the time when you are shearing the animal, they're shearing the sheep, so, azak bishemen. What you're going to be doing is you're going to be taking cotton balls and you're going to be dipping in oil, menichin lo apadachto, and you're rubbing the forehead of the sheep, kadesh lo titztanein, in order that it doesn't get cold, right? You can imagine. You're removing now all the insulation of the sheep, and it's now going to be cold, and so you're basically doing some sort of hot oil compress on the head of the sheep. Now, Amalei Rav Chisda im ken asisa mar ukva. Now, Rav Chisda is almost like laughing at this pshat. That can't possibly be. Meaning, you're describing like almost like a spa scenario, and you know who gets that kind of treatment? Mar ukva gets that kind of treatment, but. We're not doing that for a sheep. So he really is not he's not impressed nor accepting this pshat. So the Gemara here, second attempt. So here it's a similar pshat. But when the ewe is ready to give birth, so and as it is in the birthing process. So again, two wads of cotton are dipped in oil, and one is applied to the head of the sheep, and the other one to the beis harechem, in order to alleviate the pain while it's giving birth. Amalei Rav Nachman im ken asisa yalta. So Rav Nachman really laughs at that pshat. And Rav Nachman says, you know who gets that kind of treatment? My wife that gets that kind of treatment, yalta. Yalta, who we described already a number of times throughout Shas, the Gemara in Chulin. We just recently did the Gemara in Brachos in the seventh perek. So the famed wife of Rav Nachman, the daughter of the Reish Galusa. So she gets that kind of treatment. We're not doing that with a sheep. So Ella Am Rav Huna eats echayish bekar chayam v'chanun shema. So Rav Huna says that there is a piece of wood out in the islands, and it's called the chanun. Umevin kisim amenichim la bechotma kishdei shetit at eish. And what happens is that we take a piece of we splinter off some of this wood. We put it under the nose of the ewe so that the ewe will sneeze. V'yiplu darni rosha. And by having that jerky sneeze, so what's going to happen is that any worms or any bugs that are sitting in the head of the sheep are going to fall out. So ihachi zecharim nami. So the Gemara says, okay, but why is that specific to the ewes, to the females? Why not do that for the males as well? So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know what rams do? They butt heads one against the other. So that removes all of the unwanted bugs that are in the head of the rams. Ewes do not behave in this manner. So therefore they get the ewes to sneeze using this piece of wood, which obviously is like pepper, like really causes the ewe to sneeze. That was our third possible pshat. Number four, Shimon Nizira Amar Kisma de Risma. And he describes it as a splinter of Risma. Risma is a type of tree. Actually, we talked about the Rosem earlier in the third perek, where we described it as a wood that burns very, very well. Now, Bishlama de Rav Huna, Hainu de Tani Chanunos. Now, Rav Huna's pshat is very good because Chanunos is a proper noun, meaning that is the actual name of the wood. El Rabbanamai Chanunos. So the Gemara says, but according to the Chachamim, what exactly is Chanunos? Meaning it has nothing to do with the name. So Adavdin Alumilsa Demarachmin Alayhu. So the Gemara says Chanunos from the word Chanun, meaning to be merciful, to be kind. And it's not describing the name of the item, but it's describing what we're looking to do. We're looking to make the animal more comfortable. We're being kinder to the animal. So the Gemara just offered no less than four different interpretations of what the Chanunos means. And again, this is not something that can be done on Shabbos. They cannot go out Chanunos. And I guess what you'll have to say again is that this is not absolutely necessary for the animal. It's almost like a luxury item, if you will. And so therefore the animals cannot go out Chanunos on Shabbos. Eina eagle yose begimon. My ego begimon. The Gemara wants to know what that means. I'm Rav Huna Bar Nira, I'm Rav Elazar, my mashma. Sorry, I'm Rav Huna Bar Nira. It is a small yoke. It's a small yoke. Rashi describes it as basically like a trainer yoke, right? Rashi, Ol Katan Shemanichin LaEgel B'Tzavroshi LaMud LaChof Rosho LeChishiagdil. So it is like a trainer yoke. We're basically we're teaching the calf how to bend its neck down at a very young age. I'm Rebbe Lazar, my mashma da haigimon lishon de mechiv dechsiv hale chof kaagmon rosho. So, and we see that the word gimon, as is quoted in the pasuk in Yeshayahu, means that basically it's going to be bending its neck forward. And so you see that it is related to this idea of being bent over. V'lopar ba'or hakupar, we're up to the porcupine skin. So the avdila ki hechidolo lemesuya yale. Having the porcupine skin attached to the female cows is going to protect it, because yeah, basically what it sounds like from Rashi is like you have these leeches that would attach themselves to the udders of the cow, and if you attach porcupine skin, so that'll ward off the leeches. That's the way Rashi presents it. Velober sur shebein karneha. Now you can't have a ribbon tied to the horns of the animal. Now, we already discussed this extensively two days ago back on Daf Nun Beis, and the Gemara does a quick refresher of the Gemara Nun Beis, Ilarav Bein Lanoi Bein Lashamir. Now, if you're Usser, now if you're Rav, it doesn't matter whether it's ornamental or whether it's there to serve as some sort of protection. Because as the Gemara pointed out back on Nun Beis, according to Rav, this is more than what the cow needs. The cow doesn't need a ribbon, even for protective purposes. And so this is what's considered Shmir Yisera. And like we discussed extensively back on Nun Beis, Rav prohibits Shmir Yisera. Shmira at its baseline would be fine, but if it's Yisera, if it's extra, that Rav does not allow. And he l'shmul, l'noi asr l'shamer mutter. Now if you're Shmuel, so the Mishnah over here that says that it's asr is only when it's ornamental. But if it's there to protect the animal, so then it would be mutter, then it would be permissible. And let's just start the next section, but quite frankly, it goes well into tomorrow's daf. You know what? Change course. Let's start this tomorrow, because all this is really a long discussion that goes well into tomorrow's daf regarding the mitzvah of tochacha. So tomorrow we start off with the mitzvah of tochacha. Really interesting gemara tomorrow regarding tochacha. And Tomorrow, a really interesting Gemara is coming up tomorrow, as we will be discussing perceived averos of various personalities within Tanakh. Okay, anyway, let's quickly review today. Today, we're really technical Gemara today, in that we were looking to give definitions to many of the terms described in the Mishnah. And so, a lot of terms defined. We went through the Mishnah that was on Nun Beis Amud Beis regarding what the animals can go out with on Shabbos. Many terms to describe. So on the Amud Aleph of today's daf, and the Dal Amud Aleph, we describe the terms. We describe the terms of Luvulim, which the Gemara gave three possibilities of what that means. We describe the term Shichuzos, that basically is tying the tail up to promote mating. We described kivulos, cables, in order to tie the tail down, in order so that the animal's not mate at this point in time. We described what the word kavul means. We used the pasuk in Malachim, in the ninth parak of Malachim, to describe Eretz Kavul, an unproductive land, what was unproductive about it. We went over the term kivunos, where you're basically making a coat for a newborn sheep in order to keep its wool pristine white. The Gemara went through a machlokas hamarayim, who the halacha follows like. And Rav said the halacha follows like Rav Yehuda of our Mishnah, and when it comes to Sefer Hester, which this is, we generally follow the position of Rav. We started the discussion on Nundalam and Aleph in terms of what the camel cannot go out with on Shabbos, and the camels cannot go out with a metutelis. And we described the metutelis as being some sort of padding for the camel. Rashi himself was not perfectly clear in terms of where exactly the padding was located. And the animal and the camel cannot go out with its legs tied up. And we talked about how exactly the legs are going to be tied up. We talked about marching the camels. You cannot do so on a convoy, but you can hold the leashes of each one of them. There are considerations for the leashes, and we discussed them extensively at the bottom of the Amud Aleph to the top of the Amud Beis. We talked about what a donkey cannot go out with on Shabbos. If the saddle blanket is tied up on Shabbos itself, it cannot go out. We reviewed this morning the three pshatim of Tosfos, why that should be. We talked about having it not going out with some sort of brace on its neck, not some sort of bracing on its legs. And as far as the chickens are concerned, chute, they can't go out with strings and straps on their feet. One to identify which one they are, the other one to impede their jumping. When it comes to the rams, so there used to be a wagon that was attached to the tail. That cannot be attached on Shabbos. When it comes to the ewes, so they cannot go out with this chanunos. The Gemara gave a number of interpretations of what that means, but basically, one of the ones that were accepted, the Gemara had a number of them that were rejected, but one of them was accepted, is basically promotes sneezing amongst the sheep in order to get rid of the bugs. And again, it's not something which is vital or significant, and the animals cannot wear that on Shabbos. When it comes to the calves, so they cannot go out with a starter yoke, with a training yoke. And when it comes to the cows, they cannot go out with a porcupine skin. And they cannot go out with the Ritzua Shebein Karneha, a strap between its horns. And we discussed that. That was a big discussion of Daf Nun Beis, which we just quickly refreshed again. And then what we're starting with tomorrow is that Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah and his cow went out with a strap between its horns. And the Chachamim were not happy about that. And that is where we begin tomorrow morning.